from every culture
over the world
to right here
in our ports and our city,
people make
Southampton. Voice FM.
Welcome to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. From startups to established companies, I'll be bringing you a variety of guests from Southampton's business community. Today's show, well, it's all about setting up a business from nothing. To rise, you've got to fall, but most importantly, you've got to keep moving. And I'm here in the studio with motor trade entrepreneur Rob Lang from Langs of Romsey. Rob, welcome to the studio.
Thanks, Matt, and it's great to be here. Always a huge fan of your show, talking about business and what people do. Very interesting stuff.
You are too kind, sir. You are too kind. Thank you so much for coming into the studio, dedicating the time. I know you're an incredibly busy man. But so, Rob, you know, let's kick off. Let's start. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Langs of Romsey? What do you do?
Well, Langs of Romsey, we formed last year, and what we're doing, providing fantastic service to customers in the motor industry for repairs, servicing, diagnostics. We do remapping, so very bespoke and bespoke to each individual customer.
Yeah, sure. What sort of cars do you get to look at?
We run through anything from, we sort of specialise in the German market, from Mercedes, Porsche, Audi, Volkswagen, Volvo. So we'll cover a whole range, general cars as well. And, we also do contracts for companies with vans.
Yeah, brilliant. Diagnostics, that sounds really interesting. And I know when we've spoken in the lead up to the show, you do something called walnut blasting.
Walnut blasting, you like that word, don't you?
Yeah, well, I think we'll have a chat about that because that is really, really intriguing. So ever since a young age, really, you know, you were watching Top Gear, as a young child, and you've always had this passion for cars, is that right?
Yeah, I think it's something that's in you. If you've been in the motor industry or motor trade, everyone that's still in it, we love it, we still like it, and it's still a good community and good family. You know, things change, things get harder, but you change with change and grow with it.
Did you, when you were younger, did you have posters of your favourite cars?
Yeah, of course we did,
In your bedroom?
Yeah, posters, pictures, yeah. Yeah, Lamborghinis, Bugattis, Ferraris.
Those are the cars that you fall in love with.
You do, then you realise that they're not the best things to work on.
What are you driving at the moment, Rob?
I just run around a range of cars. I've got an RS6 Avant, which is my go-to car. It does everything I need it to do, and you get things in the boot and it's quick.
Yeah, definitely. The question I want to know, though, is what do you think you'd be like around the Top Gear test track?
The Top Gear test track. Well, if it's dry, I like that. Yeah, I prefer the dry weather rather than the rain. But you just got to concentrate. I think I'll be all right. I'll be all right.
Well, if any of the listeners are out there wondering, you know, are you the Stig, Rob?
No, I'm not the Stig. No. Been asked a few times.
What is it? It's just absolutely brilliant. It's good to see somebody so passionate, not only about, you know, setting up a business, and it sounds like it's going from strength to strength, but you're also incredibly passionate about, you know, just the car. What is it about the motor car that you loved? Is it the sense of freedom? What is it?
It's something that's part of you. Yeah, it's your freedom. It's how you feel when you get in that car. I mean, a lot of people would have felt that when they've passed their driving test and they're out on their own in the car. And
sure,
if you love your cars, you love driving. It's not an exercise, it's just a pleasure. It's you just enjoy it. Yeah.
And no doubt that comes across when the customers walk into Langs of Romsey.
Yeah, well, we all have a passion about cars, and I have a passion about them, about their cars, and it's nice to talk to them, fact find a little bit, and it, you know, generally helps to sort of figuring out what's wrong with the car quicker.
Yeah, definitely. So before you set up your business, let's take a little walk down memory lane, or a drive down memory lane. So you passed your test and you got into a bit of racing, is that right?
Did a little bit of motorsport, nothing great. It obviously got a bit too expensive and did a lot on the sort of AMG stuff, so that was interesting. And then sort of golf took over a bit.
You nearly went pro, didn't you?
I did. I went out to New Zealand back in 97, played and coached, and I just ate, slept and breathed the game, really.
Everything golf,
and the figures were there, but it's just I wanted to go USPGA Tour, school scholarships, etc. But things change, and then you sort of move back into what else you want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So then when did you get into the motor trade?
Oh, I got into motor trade just after I was 21, because back when I was interested in it, to become a salesman and things like that, you had to be sort of that age, really, if you were coming new into it. But loved the cars, got into that, and then just sort of went from there.
What are you saying? You were young, dynamic, hungry?
They're all the normal words, aren't they? Just interested and passionate about it, and then just wanted to learn about people, really. I was interested in the people.
You have a real natural ability, you know, with people, I think. You are really good at talking. Good listener, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it's
I'm listening to you, Matt. Yeah, you have to be. You have to be. That's the natural thing. Selling is not a thing you learn. It's something you're interested in. You're interested in the people, and that progressively then you find out what they want, and particularly sometimes they'll be coming in to look at a particular example of car they want, then you find out more about their needs.
Yeah.
Offer them another option, and they think, yeah, do you know what, actually, that's the right way to go.
So, yeah, so you have had occasions where you'd say to a potential customer, I hear what you're saying, but actually, what I think you really need is this.
Exactly right, yeah. It's having the confidence to do it, but it's throwing a... You can always say to them, throw a spanner in the works to them, but it's like the mystery house, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and people buy from people.
Yeah, yeah.
So Langs of Romsey is a specialist independent.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. What's been your experience with the sort of larger main dealer setups?
Well, I loved the main dealers. When I was younger, it was soulful. It was a passionate experience, and it was a different concept. There's a lot more due diligence and everything else they have to do now. But it's from a dealer's perspective, even from the service perspective, it's a very processed element, which, you know, in all fairness, they have to be like that. But there's no passion or soul there. And that's what our unique selling point is, really.
That's your USP.
Yeah, I mean, the customers will deal with me or they'll speak to a tech, but we'll pass them all the way through, you know. We'll let them know what's going on, and yeah, just that interaction with them, really. If there's an issue with their car, we'll listen, we'll say, look, pop down and see us. And we'll just sort of initially get an idea of what needs to be done or what needs to be diagnosed. There's no book them in, you know, let's see you in a week's time, it's going to cost you £200 just to see your car, etc. So it's bespoke. Everything has to be bespoke to each individual customer.
Yeah, for sure. And we're going to talk a little bit later about people's emotional connections to their cars.
Yeah, exactly. It's very emotional. Yeah, from buying one, owning one. Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
Well, it's like the second part of their soul, isn't it? It's you have your house purchases or you have your home you live in.
Yeah.
And then the next part's your car, isn't it? It's another part of you from my perspective. And then if you're really into your cars, you know, you've got a passion for certain brands, motorsport, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've seen some pictures. I haven't been down to visit you yet, but hopefully I can pop down, get myself a nice cup of coffee.
Yeah, nice beans cup coffee.
That sounds right up my street. But your workshop is immaculate from what I've seen in the pictures.
We try and keep it clean. It's still not perfect how I want it, but nothing ever is when you're running your own business. You always want it sort of better or clean. But yeah, that... The workshops of old have changed. We sort of bespoken what we do, but everything's kept clean. Try and keep it to that sort of, you know, team, professional, Formula One sort of basis. Everything's clean. And again, a lot of engines now, they're not as messy as what they used to be. It just depends what you're working on, what you get involved in. But I think it's important for the customer or the client to come in and see that it's clean and organised, really.
Yeah, I suppose it's one of those things, isn't it? If your workshop looks as good as that, then chances are the car, when you hand it back to them, I suppose they know that it's going to be looked after.
Yeah, hopefully cleaned as well.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? Maybe I could come down and give you a hand with some of that.
Yeah, we'll get you a little step ladder for bigger ones, Matt.
That sounds really, really good. So when you say diagnostics,
yeah,
what do you mean?
Diagnostics is basically just diagnosing what's wrong with a car. Most cars now have engine control units or systems or ABS. They're all run by effectively computers that you need to plug into to find out where the fault is. So that's sort of effective. We're diagnosing what might be wrong with a car when a light comes on the vehicle or something like that you need to generally plug in. But there's a lot of other issues as well. You start off with you know, checking all the wiring, the fuses. You have to start from the beginning on a lot of that. But yeah, you're just helping diagnose what's wrong with a car.
You plug it in and then is it one of those things you plug it into a computer?
Exactly right, yeah. Yeah, there's different software systems, computer systems and everything else and diagnostic equipment, which costs a lot of money, which we have, and it you know, it really does help with the technicians as well, with the live data feeds and everything else to guide them through certain wiring processes on different vehicles.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, it's just things have moved on so much.
Massively, yeah.
What about the electrical electric vehicle, should I say, side of things. Do you guys do much with that?
Yeah, we don't get involved with the electrical side of it because there's different, you have to have different certification for that, sure. Which is fine. I'm all for it. It's great. I just think it's going to integrate well with certain hybrid engines once we can get to the point of, I think, effectively filling up a tank of fuel for £70, but getting another 800 mile range on the charge every quarter of a tank.
Absolutely, yeah.
Really help it. But yeah, I'm all for it, but it's I think it's not quite there yet.
Yeah, definitely. So go on, tell us a little bit about this walnut blasting then.
Walnut blasting.
What is that all about?
Basically, you know, we're all for the environment as well. It's an environmentally friendly way of cleaning your sort of valves on the car so they get carbonized up. So
okay.
If you take an intake manifold off, you can see the valves. Now they've got very clogged up with carbon from all the fuel, etc. in the vehicle. So after a certain amount of miles, we can strip that back and we will not blast. So the walnuts are all grated down. They go in, clean all the carbon off. It's all environmentally friendly. I can't get my words out there. But obviously it's reusable as well, but then it helps the car run a lot smoother and leaner as well. So it's a good part of aftercare service on cars sort of over 40,000 miles, really.
Is it an expensive thing to have done?
It depends on the vehicle, depends on the time it takes and the engine sizes, but you know, we do them from, it can start from £250 upwards.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right, yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. So we're rattling through, Rob. We've nearly run out of time for part one, but join us for part two, because we're going to be delving into the wonderful world of the importance of customer service and, of course, looking after the people inside the organisation as well. I know you've got a really unique take on that, looking after your technicians. So we're going to be touching on some of that. So, yeah, Rob, this has been absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for sort of sharing your experience with us and sort of your journey so far. Just one quick question, though. Why did you decide to start your own business? What was the catalyst? What was it?
The catalyst? That's a good question, isn't it?
Is
really?
It? Yeah.
You've got the freedom of working for yourself, but it's because you want to do things right how you think they should be from what you've learned from other experiences, really.
Yeah, makes sense. Right, okay. So, yeah, join us again for part two. You're listening to Matt Trevis on The Business over at Voice FM. We'll see you back after the break.
Southampton's Voice.
Voice FM.
Let's hear more from Ian at Station Motors.
I think it's important to have a family business. My customers relate to it. I've been doing cars for people and now I'm doing their son's cars. My daughter works in reception and my son's nearly a fully qualified accountant. He does my bookwork, both very good drivers. I used to walk to school past his garage. It was a petrol station back then. So I ended up buying the garage off that family, you know. So I like to think I've brought my family into that family business.
Station Motors Woolston by the Itchen Bridge.
You name it, we'll collect it.
So a bed?
Yep.
A sofa?
Yep.
All right, what about a shed?
Yes.
So anything?
Everything non-hazardous.
Hi there, I'm Steve.
And I'm Woody.
And we're the co-founders of Ethiclear.
We collect waste and clear houses.
And we do it ethically.
Because if your waste is good enough to be used again,
we'll make sure it is.
As Ethiclear has a network of like-minded people around Southampton.
So for anything
of almost any size
that you can't shift,
book your clearance at ethiclear.co.uk.
Southampton's Voice.
Voice FM.
So welcome back to the show. I'm joined in the studio by Rob Lang from Langs of Romsey.
That's my dad's name. There you go.
Yeah, a bit of a tongue twister there. So, yeah. Rob, is there anyone that you want to do a little shout out to?
I'd like to give a shout out basically to all my friends and family and most importantly customers, but my friends and people around me have been really supportive of what I've done, and especially my family and parents, which is what you need.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant. Yeah, fantastic. And the technicians as well?
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about the technicians in a little while, aren't we? Looking forward to that. So, Rob, right, so we talked about, you know, the sort of the catalyst, really, for you setting up your own business and the sort of, you know, years that sort of led you to doing that. Let's have a chat about customer service and why you think that's so important. Because from when we've spoken, the feeling I get is you put that directly at the heart of everything that you do.
It is. And, you know, it's the same old word, customer service and companies. It's, you do really have to reflect on it. And it has come a long way now. But us as a sort of independent and bespoke company, it's something I really focus on. It's something I've seen throughout my life. And it is stuff you need to really develop on and give it that 150%. You know, and there's a few stories I'll tell you about in a minute that quite emotional, but it's good. Good for me, good for the customer.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I completely agree. And it's one of those things, isn't it? It is difficult. It's not something that you necessarily get taught, but it's something that you can kind of learn, I suppose, through trial and error. And just looking after people.
It's having that mindset, that mind control of your mind not taking over. If you're in a bad mindset or you're having a bad day and it's busy and then someone walks through your door, you really have to take the knee, sort of thing, step back and then just focus on them again, because you could miss something so important.
Absolutely. So as we've touched on earlier, you guys over at Langs of Romsey, you're a specialist independent.
Yes, we are. Yeah.
What are the advantages for people out there that are maybe thinking, you know, they need to take their car in, as they've got a problem with their car, and I suppose they've got options, haven't they? They could potentially go to a main dealer, or they could see somebody like yourself. So what's the advantages of using you?
The advantage is we've probably got a bit more time in terms of, rather than just sort of processing the car in and out, we've got a bit more time to go through certain
things. That's interesting,
and you can't buy time, obviously. Not everyone would love to do that, but it's having that time and that aspect of professionalism. We've got two great master sort of techs with us, so that's a benefit to us on that side of it.
Absolutely. What about the stuff that makes what you do unique? What do you think that is? What makes Langs of Romsey unique compared to all the other, you know, even compared to the other specialist dealers out there?
Yeah, they're all unique to themselves, and I'm sure they will do a great job as well. I mean, me personally, there's a couple of situations where we've had a car come in and it's someone's parents. He's brought a car and it's not been in the best of states. He's only had it a few weeks.
Sure.
Quite an emotional thing for them, and came to us. The parents talked to us about it. We had it for a good 2 or 3 weeks, but I actually got involved with the garage that they were dealing with, because obviously initially, again, customer service side of it, there's a duty of care there, I think, to sort of making sure their customer's happy as well. And sometimes they'll oversee that and not realise the whole situation. So from my experience of being in a sales background into the workshop background, I could sort of mediate with a guy and get him to actually re-speak to the customer and help out with the cost of what was wrong with this car. I mean, it's no one's fault at the end of the day. There's just an issue there that we need to resolve and try and get everyone happy. But as it turned out, the guy was just so happy with what we'd done. He had a few kids he had to look after as well. And everything we did and how we turned it around helped out with cost side of it, that saved him money. Was a massive thing. And, you know, the guy broke down in front of me, but it's emotional. You know, it touched on me as well because of all the help we gave him.
Yeah.
From my perspective, it didn't seem like I was doing too much, but it obviously worked. So
didn't it?
Everyone's happy. You know, we were happy, he was happy. The garage was happy that sort of sold him the car, realised what was what. And you know, they came to the party and helped out as they should.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the thing, isn't it? The feeling I get is just the fact that you care.
Yeah, you have to. It's a dark area to talk to sometimes. You don't, when you're talking about people having bad experiences, buying cars from people or getting them serviced or having them repaired in a bad way, you have to care. Yeah, you have to care. And you can't get it right all the time, but it's about explaining what you're doing, explaining what might not work or what will work, and just guiding them down the line. But yeah, as long as you care.
Have you always put so much emphasis on the personal side of things? Does that just come naturally to you?
I try and treat everyone how I would like to be treated, as we all say. But that is massively important to me, yeah. I've seen it through how I was in dealers, how that's all changed and how I am now. You have to just respect everyone.
And it's really interesting, isn't it? Now, I don't know the stats off the top of my head, but there's something along the lines of, if you have a bad experience with a company or a business, you buy something and the experience isn't good, you're going to tell more people about that bad experience than you are about that good experience. But it feels to me that I bet your customer retention rate is incredibly high, because obviously if everyone that you're helping and you're giving them the best possible experience, okay, they might not necessarily tell all of their friends, but do you think they're more likely to come back?
100%, yeah. We're already having, you know, return customers to us from work we've done before.
Yeah.
So it's not repairing the same work we did before, obviously. But no, it's customer attention is about building the business at the end of the day. It's a growing business with growing numbers, and you need to keep the customers coming back to you.
Absolutely, yeah. Tell us a little bit about your premises, because we're going to In part three, we're going to talk about one of the challenges that you faced, which is finding the right premises, which we'll delve into a bit later. But tell us a little bit about what you've currently got, the current setup. And so you're based in Romsey. Whereabouts in Romsey are you?
Yeah, we're just outside of Romsey in West Wellow. So it's just a little bit out of the way, but it's still reasonably easy to find. But, you know, that again, yeah, like you were saying, challenges of finding premises with the right area and secure compounds for the cars and everything else is a massive challenge.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've got a great place there. It's very secure. And it works. It works for us to scale up as well.
Absolutely. So we've talked about the importance of customer service. What would you say to a business owner out there that maybe they've seen instances where the staff maybe could have done better, or perhaps they've had a few bad reviews online, for instance, quoting that customer service is not that great. Where do you even start to put that stuff right? How do you even tackle that?
You start exactly where you said. If you've got a review that's given you a bad rating, tackle it straight away.
Yeah.
Phone them up.
Don't bury your head in the sand.
Speak to them. Find out why. See if you can rectify it. I mean, there's always going to be a situation. You're never going to please everyone. But if you give everything 120% or whatever you want to call it, 100%, you're generally going to get it right 99.9% of the time. But yeah, as soon as you see a bad review or you see one of your staff not too happy, just tackle it straight away. Even if it means you've got to stop everything for an hour, that 1 hour could save you fortunes and future business.
Absolutely, yeah. What's been some of the coolest cars that have come through the doors?
Well, they're all cool cars, yeah. But we've had a range of cars, you know, with Porsches, Aston Martins, and some of the Mercedes AMG stuff.
Yeah.
We just recently done some work on a Mercedes AMG GT. Again, it's straightforward speed central on an ABS part of the wheel.
I have no idea what you've just said.
It's basically coming back to the fact that you'll have loads of lights come on your dash, and it's effectively one simple part that's linked to something. We did that, rectified it. You know, different places and main dealers were quite a long time and wanted X amount of diagnostics charges, etc. So again, it's that knowledge of knowing what's what.
Are you more nimble then? Can you react quicker than maybe a main dealer might be able to? Are you a bit more dynamic?
Oh, 100%.
Are you?
100%. Because they're calling me, they're dealing with me, and we can do that straight away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I suppose you're in charge of the diary.
Oh, I am. Yeah. Yeah.
You are the diary master.
I am the diary, yeah. But yeah, it has to be that. I think any new business you start, you've got to do everything yourself. You know, you're doing three or four people's jobs, but that's part, you've got to enjoy it.
Yeah.
As long as you enjoy it, it's fine.
You're so passionate about what you do. It's absolutely brilliant. I can't help but feel inspired, if I'm completely honest with you, Rob.
Yeah.
So we talked about the importance of customer service as a massive box that every business owner should be trying to tick as best they can.
Mm.
Let's have a little talk about how you treat your team, because you sort of said to me, you know, your technicians mean everything to you.
They're the golden key. I mean, the industry has changed so much, and I've always respected technicians, and even from main dealer side, the parts departments are always overlooked and they're always very busy. But if you haven't got good techs, you know, you're dead in the water.
Yeah.
And they are your business at the end of the day. They have to be looked after. I'm very passionate about, we do a Monday to Friday policy. We're not open at weekends.
Okay.
But everyone needs their time off.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of, you know, regenning and being ready for the next week.
Ready for the Monday.
Yeah. Well, if you've got happy and good staff, you're going to get happy customers.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Is a technician the same as a mechanic?
It's the same phrase, yeah.
Same sort of thing.
Yeah, same sort of thing, yeah.
And you said as well about, you know, financial incentives, financial rewards, that sort of stuff. I mean...
Oh, 100%, yeah. If the business does well, they have a percentage of it.
You know,
we do a few car sales as well, so everything's split with them. But that's my perspective on the business. Everyone works things differently. It just depends how the numbers work.
Absolutely. So you give all your staff the weekend off.
Yep.
And that's for sort of family downtime, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's important. In this day in life, it is important. You know, I've worked 7 days a week, done it for years, you've got to have that time off.
Yeah.
It helps you make better decisions.
I couldn't agree more.
Mm.
Is it a challenge keeping up with all the latest advances and developments in the, you know, the car manufacturing and stuff? How do the technicians keep up to date?
It is. They're working on them every day. So, and with the diagnostics and the live feeds we have, they're constantly updated with what's going on within the industry. And again, it's having a passion for what you do, and you talk to people and you learn stuff. So
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really, really good. What's next for Langs then? What's on the horizon?
Well, as any business, you know, we've been going a year now.
Which isn't that long, really. I mean, it's quite amazing how far you've come in such a short space of time.
And that was from nothing. That's not from a business carrying on. That was just from scratch. Yeah, from scratch, from a workshop. So in an area, got ourselves there. And we've been going a year, so we'll scale up. We've got to get eventually, you know, bigger premises and then more ramps, but not too big. In this day and age, you've just got to concentrate on that cash flow and not have too much going out and manage it. You know,
yeah,
there's a fine line.
Yeah, definitely. Cash is king or queen.
Yeah.
So they say. Did you say you get some more ramps in?
Well, yeah. In terms of a scale up as a business, bigger area. And just fundamentals of how you can run the business with four or five ramps. Yeah,
absolutely. In terms of your customer base, do you get people that, you know, travel long distances because you guys are specialists at what you do?
Yeah, I mean, we're specialists in, at the end of the day, caring about what we do, really, yeah. We'll get people travel down from, we've had people come up from down from Yorkshire.
Oh, wow.
Visiting family, but again, looking at reviews and looking at what we do.
So, I was going to say, how did they find out about you?
A lot of social media posting, really, which is something I've never been up to speed with a lot, so I'm learning that as I go. But you've just got to keep consistent with it and keep putting it out there, really.
Absolutely. I suppose the one thing that I'd love to know, as the business scales, as the business grows, you obviously have this incredible sort of personal touch with the customer service side of it. But as things scale and they grow, how are you going to maintain those levels of customer service that you pride yourself on being so high?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And it's a really, that is one of the hardest challenges to do on any business when you scale up, because you can lose touch of what's going on the basics of it. It's just keeping involved with everything, really. And again, if you do get anything that someone's not happy with or stuff, you've, again, nip it in the bud straight away.
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
Just deal with it straight away, you know.
Absolutely.
But yeah, good question. But it's something you only learn as you grow independently, because every business is different.
Yeah, they've all got their own ways of doing things, their own unique processes, as and when, you know, I suppose, like you say, manufacturers change what they're going to do. Mm. Yeah. What's your favourite brand of car to work on? Have you got one?
Well, it's my techs that work on the cars, but I mean, they'd rather work on simple cars that don't go wrong all the time. But
like a Citroen TZV.
I suppose in reflection to that question, I think what the guys like doing is when they work on a car and find a fault or fix something really quickly that someone else has been struggling with, and they've sort of diagnosed that themselves and through their process.
It's kind of like problem solving, isn't it?
It certainly is, yeah. I mean, we had a car in not long ago where the customer's air conditioning has not been working for 2 years, and my tech's looked through it, and he's found through the wiring, starting at the basics and going through, sorted it. But you could see he was, you know, pleased with what he sorted out. Customers over the moon.
Yeah.
Everyone's happy.
Yeah, especially, you know, with the hot weather that we've been having.
Exactly, yeah.
What a relief.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, look, anyway, we run out of time for part two, but stay tuned, because we have got part three coming up, where we're going to be talking to Rob about some of the challenges that he's faced setting up his business. And bearing in mind, he's only been going a year, so I'm really curious to know, actually, Rob, and we'll talk about this after the break, but if you were going to do it all again, what might you do differently? But don't tell us just yet. We'll wait till after the break.
Voice FM.
Sweet Pea Florists, Bridge Road, Woolston.
Sweet Pea Florists, for all occasions and celebrations. Sweet Pea Florists.
Call Southampton 02380 433 154, or visit them at sweetpeaflorists.co.uk. Flowers for all occasions.
Sweet Pea Florists.
Visit the girls in the flower shop on the corner of Bridge Road and Defender Road, Woolston.
This is the sound of exercise when it's made fun. It's called Visosport, and it started in Southampton. You meet up, you play fun games, you exercise, you laugh, you keep fit. It's for people of all abilities. Visit visosport.net or search for Visosport in Meetup and have fun getting fit.
From every culture
over the world
to right here
in our port and our city,
people make
Southampton
Voice FM.
Welcome back, everybody. Well, I'm in the studio here with Rob Lang from Langs of Romsey, and we've been talking everything to do with the motor trade. Rob, how you doing?
I'm good, yeah.
A little bit warm in the studio, isn't it?
You could do with some air conditioning.
With some air conditioning. So, Rob, we've talked about, so we've talked about your background. Absolutely, you know, really interesting. We've talked about the importance of customer service, and we've talked about the emphasis that you put on, you know, looking after your technicians, looking after your staff, and how that really, you know, has a positive impact on the service that you, that I suppose you deliver.
Definitely.
What I'd love to delve into now is some of the challenges that you've faced setting up your own business, because you haven't been going that long. You've been going just over a year.
Just under a year.
Just under a year?
Yeah, just under a year.
Does that mean a birthday party's coming up?
Yeah, August. August the 15th.
That would be fantastic. Yeah. Oh, I look forward to the invite.
Yeah.
Well, let's delve in then. So tell us, you know, what's been some of the challenges in you know, setting up Langs of Romsey?
Yeah, there's a varied range of challenges, really. You know, the thing is, you've got to keep believing in yourself when you're setting something
absolutely,
up.
Absolutely, yeah.
You'll try and do things that you think are going to be very easy, and they're not. A typical example is, you want to go into a bank. I'm a bit old school, but new school, but I wanted to go into the bank, organise, speak to a business manager, let them know what I wanted to do, set an account up, business account, which is what you need for a business. And you just get given a card and told to go online and set it up yourself. Bit frustrating, because you see the adverts on TV, how they want to back businesses and everything else. You're on your own for the first year or so. You have to produce the numbers before the banks take any interest in you. But everything you have to do is online, and it was a challenge, because you're trying to do that and sort other things out, and the bank made a few mistakes and setting up two or three accounts where the online process went through two or three times. It puts a little bit of stress on you, because you're trying to do other things as well.
Yeah.
But that was a challenge. But you just have to sort of put that to one side and keep that in the margin, knowing that's happening. Then move forward onto your other things.
It's interesting though, isn't it? Because like you say, something as simple as a bank account, you know, without that, people can't pay you. It's difficult to pay your staff.
Yeah, you've got to register the company, you have to have a bank account.
Yeah, registering, all that sort of stuff, all the VAT bits and pieces, crikey. Yeah, I can imagine that was a little bit stressful.
Yeah, yeah, you get through it, but you expect a little bit more support from what you see on the advertisement from banks. But anyway, that's a challenge.
And you've overcome that now.
Yeah, I've got over that. And the next phase was really, you have to find your premises, you know, looking for premises, finding people that want to accept what you do, and the space, really. So you always have to have, I'd say, a few compromises in the back of your mind. You might want your ideal premises, but it might not come on. But you need to find somewhere, compromise a few things, make sure it works. But big challenge trying to find premises.
Yeah, definitely. Where do you even start with that? Is it like buying a house or finding a house?
It's a good question. You're exactly right. You tend to go online, look on Rightmove commercial properties, everything else. And even I found that I like to see the pictures as well, see the interiors of the buildings, but it's a very different market to houses. It's just sort of, there's the building, there's the square footage, and then you've got to organise to go and view them, see them, etc.
Absolutely. So did you have a set of requirements, or a set of, you know, a wish list of what your ideal premises needed to have?
You have to have certain elements you need, which is obviously a bigger compound. Even though you've got two or three ramps, you're going to need a compound that's going to hold 15 cars. You might think you can get away with a four or five car space, but, you know, again, for experience, you can't. You need that out.
You're forever moving them.
Yeah, and you need somewhere secure. You know, you got customers' pride and passions there, so, you know, they need to be secure as well when they're locked up. But outside space and you know, good working interior.
Absolutely. What you just said there, pride and passion.
Yeah.
Because what's your tagline?
What, your passion is our drive.
Yeah. I know it sounds a little bit cheesy, but it definitely comes...
Is our passion.
Your drive is our passion.
You can work it both ways. But
you're smiling now, though, and I think you are incredibly passionate about not just the cars that you drive and you own in your business, but you are passionate about the cars that people bring in.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, it's, you know, they love their cars, you know, so you have to respect that. There are other people that have got nice... They just want them looked after. They want that peace of mind that someone's just going to say, that's fine, we'll organise that, we'll get it sorted, rather than give them the problem or just resolve it, give them the solution.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you had anything really unique, or perhaps, you know, vintage that's come through the workshop?
No, we've had a few really nice sort of Mark 1 Golf GTIs and things like that. We've had an old sort of old pickup truck that's in its sort of stage of getting renovated. So we just had to look at the old engine and try and get that running. But it's not something we tend to get involved in because it's more, that's again more specialist on that side of thing, from restoration chassis up. It's a different element. That's another specialist garage that can do that.
Definitely. When do you think you're going to have outgrown your current premises then?
Probably in the next 12 months.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, we'll see how we go. We might either keep that one on and another premises. We'll just see how the development goes and how the figures look.
So when it came to finding your ideal premises, you sort of had a thought. You had a list of things that, you know, it needed to have. And then when you found the place that you're currently at, what did you then do? Did you deal with the whole sort of the legal side yourself?
Everything.
You dealt with that all yourself?
Everything, yeah.
What was that like?
Yeah, again, you just have to walk through the process, go through it, enjoy it. Don't let your mind take control of things that might annoy you. You just have to get on and do things, from agreeing, shaking hands on the actual premises, handing the money over, putting together. Within 4 weeks, I was lucky. I got it all redecorated. We got the ramps in. We got all the equipment in. So just formulating all the right people at the right time. And I turned it around in 4 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah.
From an empty shell to a working workshop.
Oh, wow.
So it was a bit of a challenge, but it was, again, interesting.
Well, that leads us on really to the next challenge, because you've got your premises, you've kitted it out, and you're ready to open the doors. And of course, it's not always the case of build it and they will come, they will find you.
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
That would be amazing. So how did you approach that? Because from a marketing aspect, nobody knows you.
No.
They've not heard of you.
Exactly right. And again, it's when I wanted to sort of put a shout before, saying thank you to sort of my friends and family and all the support around me. Luckily, I've got a good network of friends that do different businesses, from marketing and Google and everything else. But it's very important, because initially I spent some money with another advertising agency that didn't get me any results, that cost me a lot of money. But you live and learn at the end of the day. But you know, with things like the motor industry or anything like that, you have to spend the money advertising, and you have to create a good place for people to come. And that's what we did. And from my aspect, whether I can mention names, but Google Ads is what, if you've got something wrong with your car and you don't know the area or where to go, you'll generally type it in and see what comes up.
Go to your favorite search engine.
Go to the search
engine.
Others
are available.
Yeah.
But no, it's a really interesting point. And you touched on it earlier in the break about, it's okay to fail, but fail forward.
Yeah, always look forward. Always. Fall forward, don't fall backwards.
Yeah, talk to us a little bit about that. What's been your experience?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a few other businesses and you live and learn from them. But as you go through sort of life and get a bit more wisdom, you realise how to sort of work harder at what you do. You know, you don't put the work in. You've got to put the work in. And you can, you know, it always takes 1 to 5 years of hard work.
Yeah,
of doing everything.
Absolutely. And the stats are quite incredible. We had Sarah Lowe on the show a couple of weeks ago, who is an expert at, you know, debt recovery and credit control. And we were looking at the stats of, you know, the number of businesses that fail in the sort of first 5 years. And unfortunately, it does happen.
It's frightening, but we all see it around us, even within the food industry or anywhere else. You know, you go and try and find, I want to go and get a nice sausage sandwich somewhere with good sausages.
Oh, lovely. Good choice.
Where do you go? There's not very many places, but then it's cost. But then again, advertising. But it's very hard, and yet, you know, people wonder why they fail.
Well, it sounds like you've got a bit of a formula, and I don't expect you to tell us, you know, your trade secrets and the exact sort of marketing that is, you know, bringing in the punters, so to speak. But with the marketing theme, tell us what you're up to over at West Wellow Golf Club, because obviously you've touched on it. You were a keen golfer, nearly pro.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, I mean, it is important for local awareness as well. I mean, we've got West Wellow Golf Club down the road from us. It's got fantastic members. It's got probably over 670 members, but I sponsor the junior team because the junior side of it's important. I think they get overlooked a lot, and it's the learning curve when they're playing golf that they need that support and everything else around them. But so we support them. We're doing a six tournament golf competition throughout the summer there, and we'll put on a big barbecue at the end of it for them as well, just to help them come through their junior section. So, but it's awareness again, going back to letting people know who you are. Hit all your local people as much as you can, really, and there's so much on your doorstep wherever you are. So I also sponsor a football club, Atletico Romsey, as well.
Oh, okay.
So they've done really well this season. You know, they've won the league. And again, it's an awareness thing, and it's speaking to people that sort of have their kids playing football and letting them know what you do.
But yeah.
So many people overlook their local sort of network area, really. When I was young, with other businesses, you always think you can do it yourself. You think you know everything. You think you know how you're going to get the business. But it is so important to network and know your local area, really.
Absolutely. Do you do a bit of networking?
Yeah. I'm part of a sort of business network club. I don't know if I can mention names, but
probably
BNI, which has worked really well for me. And obviously they're the number one in Hampshire at the moment, which is great. But they're all individual business owners, and we all talk about what we do and how we do it, and it sort of makes you feel like you're in the right place, really. But it's good networking.
Yeah, and it's interesting, as I think the sort of lesson that I'm getting is when it comes to your marketing, you need a bit of a mix. You need to do the online stuff. You need to do the Google bits and pieces, website, etc. But also it's building that offline network.
Yeah.
Building that hub of people that you know and that you can, because I expect you've probably lent on them for some advice at certain points.
It's massive. And when you're setting up, you know, going back to your show really with businesses, it's when you set up a business, it's having a good array of people around you that know what they're doing, rather than just people bombarding you saying you need to do this and do this, because you can waste so much money. And my advice would be to go and speak to these people in network groups and get a idea of who you think's good and who you want to look at, and they'll all give you advice, and it'll be good advice.
That's the thing, yeah, definitely. Especially when I've tried networking, and I do networking now, and it's amazing. The business community is quite incredible. There are so many people out there that are just willing to have a chat, willing to give advice freely, help sort of point you in the right direction. It is amazing. It's an incredible thing.
Yeah, and always do what you're going to say. Yeah, it's as simple as that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the million-dollar question then, Rob, if you were to do it all again, what would you do differently?
Have the $1 million first, really.
Yeah. If you want to make a million, start with a million.
I think if you say to do it again, you look forward, so you don't look back at what you should not have done.
Absolutely,
have done.
You'll
gain experience and wisdom on certain decisions that you've made. There's never a right or wrong decision. It's just how you sort of move on from it, really. But what would I do different? Nothing, really. All you do is just keep working hard, keep moving forward. But again, it's just keeping everyone as positive as possible in your workplace, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that does cost time and it does cost money. But if you've got the right people around you, you can't fail.
It's worth the investment.
Yeah.
So if you were sat opposite somebody, let's say, you know, they were thinking about starting their own business, or maybe they're currently employed and they're thinking about making the leap.
Yeah.
They're thinking about going self-employed.
Yeah.
What advice would you give them?
Well, first of all, you've got to believe in your dream and your passion. And if you've got that picture and you know where you want to be with that, that's half your battle. And if you can sort of already see that in your mind of where it's going to be and how you're going to do it, you're over 50% there. The second thing is, obviously, you need to look at the numbers, and you've got to see initially if they do work on paper. And by doing that, you'll get even more of a gut feeling of thinking, this is great. This
building
is going
the
to
confidence.
Work. Exactly right. There might be a point where you might think, hang on, this is not going to work. But then you can look at different avenues and go from there. But get the numbers down, make sure they work. And then you get to a point where, you know, a really good friend of mine, he's a very successful sort of entrepreneur. And he just said to me, he said, look, Robbie, just get on and do it. Just do it. You know, there's never going to be a right or wrong time. But you get to the point where you just have to do it and make that decision and do it. And again, there's going to be compromises. There's going to be compromises on not having your perfect shop, site, bar, whatever. But you know, if you've got the right foundations, and I would say get the right people around you, because it's so easy to make mistakes thinking, well, I can do this, I can do that. Get talking, spend 6 months getting the right sort of people around you, whether it's to do with your marketing, advertising, anything really, for getting your business out there.
Rob, that's such good advice. Thank you. Really, really. And it makes complete sense. But like I say, you only know what you know.
Talk to people and listen, and some will give you advice that you might not want to take on board, some will give advice that you will, but
better to have it than not.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Rob, do you know what, thank you so much, we've run out of time.
I know, yeah,
it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for coming into the studio today and sharing your business journey, and we wish you all the best luck, and hopefully, you know, if you do throw a birthday party, then maybe we could pop down.
We'll be getting Voice FM down, yeah. But it's been great to come down, Matt, and you know, it's great to talk to you again. I always listen to your show, so it's a growing show. I think more people will listen to it and see if they can gain any experience from anything.
That's the dream. If we can inspire one person to, make that jump, go self-employed, start their own business, then, I'm all for that.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm there to help. If someone wants to come see me, talk to me about it, make an appointment, we'll see what we can do.
Where could they find you, Rob? Head on over to your website?
Yeah, just go onto the website, whatever. But, any people that want to do their own business, everyone will help each other. You know, we're all there to help.
Voice FM.
Voice FM.
Don't put in your recycling bin greasy pizza boxes. And don't put in your recycling bin dirty tins and dirty plastic bottles.
If any of your recycling is dirty, greasy or wet, your whole bin could be rejected. So follow this golden rule. Keep your recycling clean, dry and loose. And remember,
don't put boxes.
This message is supported by Voice FM, and if you want to know more about recycling in Southampton, visit voicefmradio.co.uk/recycling.